from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, if you're willing to get in the end zone, you might as well score. We ain't trying to kick field goals. We want to kick PATs. So that's just the mindset we're going to it. And like I said, we're trying to score every time we get down there.
That's Bills rookie receiver Keon Coleman after his first training camp practice. We are live from St. John Fisher, Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase. Coverage of Bills training camp is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, what's your outlet, and by your Western New York Ford dealers, and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Good morning from St. John Fisher, and sitting with us now, Pete Quelly, COO of the Buffalo Bills. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for sitting down with us. Thanks for taking a few minutes. We talked business stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk football, we could do that, too. Like, did you have a highlight yesterday you liked a little more than the rest?
Since I saw about 3 seconds of practice yesterday, I'm probably not the right guy to ask.
How'd those 3 seconds go, though?
Great. You know, the fan response and the fan interaction and the fan experience was fantastic yesterday. Yeah. So that's what I was paying attention to.
It's been a long time here at St. John Fisher. It's funny, like, I was joking with Joe. I'm the old guy on the show now. Howard was here forever. No, I'm the old guy. And I can think back to being on this field 20 years ago. Yeah. I've covered about 20 training camps. So you coming back to St. John Fisher, we talked yesterday. You were part of the original team that kind of envisioned this. Yeah. Did you envision all of what the NFL training camp experience has become? Because it's come a long way in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years.
No, only because when we rolled in here, it was a couple of flat practice fields, and that was the extent of it. You know, we were lucky. Fisher was going under this whole capital improvement plan and said, if you bring camp here, you can participate in that. And we got our football ops people involved, and they are the ones that really kind of envisioned this, and you can see what it is today. What I'm most proud of is just how it stood the test of time. You know, we built this great camp, had a great response to it, and then you come back. I've been gone for 15 years. You come back, and you see not only is it as good, it's better than it was before, and it's still, from a fan experience standpoint, from a football ops standpoint, it still works.
Yeah.
And I was with Coach McDermott yesterday for breakfast, and he loves it. Loves coming here. He thinks it's great for the team, great for him to get away. So proud to look back and think about, hey, this is still working today.
Yeah. I mean, coaches, players, I feel like there are a lot of little starts to football season, OTAs, mini camps, but this is where when the team gets together for the first time like this for 24 hours a day, basically, and then there's no break. Like, the season has begun, you know. There's the league year, but this is really the start of the year.
Yeah, I love it for football and for the fans. On the football side, it's great. Anytime you have new faces and you're trying to integrate them into a team and do the bonding, the things that get your season off to a great start. But in Rochester, to have the fans have the first look at how your team is coming together and then roll into the season, that's a special opportunity to just participate in something like that. And you can just tell by the turnout. You know, we the tickets are gone the minute that they're made available. And, you know, we've even opened up things, you know, up in Buffalo. We've got the blue and red coming up.
Yeah.
And we opened up the upper deck this year because there's been such a great response at camp. We wanted to make sure anybody who couldn't get here at least has the chance to go there.
Yeah. I'll be at that. My family's going. We're excited.
Good.
Chief Operating Officer Pete Gwelly of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres sitting with us. All right, let's get to some stadium stuff. Let's go there first.
Just before that, I got one thing.
Oh.
You mentioned that you were gone for 15 years. I just want to know what it's like to know Michael Jordan. Because you, of course, worked with him closely.
All right, yeah.
It's as cool as you think it would be.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the first time you walk in and meet him, obviously it's a little bit intimidating. But once you get to know him, wonderful guy. Great leader,
yeah.
Obviously from a business perspective, understands brand as well as any athlete in the history of sports. So working with him was a really enlightening growth process. And I've taken everything I've learned from there. I spent 10 years there, and then I went to the Giants for 5. And I'm looking to bring all that experience back here. But, yeah, he's as amazing as you would think.
Yeah. You'll have any time the question comes up, who's the most famous person in your phone?
Michael Jordan.
That's an easy one.
He's going to win that competition.
Who's in second place?
Right now, based on how his kind of he's ascended post career is probably Eli.
Yeah. You
know,
Work really closely with Eli in New York, and he's everywhere.
He's having a post career Eli.
He's having a glow up.
A glow up.
The Manning cast. I mean, I find the Manning cast to be tremendous.
I agree. You know, when you have an asset like that, I hate to use that word because it sounds kind of insensitive, but he's such a resource. You know, winning 2 Super Bowls there and doing it in New York and bringing him back to be part of the organization. You could create all these unique platforms. So, again, what's our opportunity to do those kind of things here? That's what I've been looking at.
Yeah. Pete Gwelly. Okay, so the stadium. We had a chance to tour it, walk around. It's progress every day. I find the timelines to be a lot of fun. Here we are at training camp. By the time Bills fans get to the home opener, you know, if you're listening from far and wide, wherever you may be, maybe you're not driving by the stadium and seeing the construction on a daily basis, where are things right now, and what's the timeline as the season coincides with the building of the stadium?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the only one timeline I'm concerned with is be ready for opening day in 2026. But it's even since you guys were there, how much has gone up, how much more steel, the precast is in now. We got to get you back because when you walk in there, it absolutely feels like a stadium. You can start to get the sense of what it was going to be like. And this whole, built for Buffalo mentality that you don't want to lose that home field advantage and you want to make it even better if you possibly can. I think when you come in and you see how close everything is to the bowl and to the field, you'll start to get that sense. Our construction guys, they're conservative, but the phrase they use is comfortably on schedule. They feel good about where we are. Every day you can see things kind of going up. We had a tour there last week, and it's moving so quickly. I think when fans come to the stadium this year, they're going to be very surprised. They're going to obviously have a great view of what's going on, but they're going to be surprised where we're at. So I would never say I had a schedule, but feel really good.
And you posted a picture yesterday of the Buffalo skyline from the stadium. I know there are spots in the stadium you'll be able – it's high enough up because it's got much more of a profile than the current stadium, which is further into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that stadium is as high as the top of the lights in the current stadium, which it's kind of hard to even wrap your head around that.
Yeah.
So different height, different pitch, great views from everywhere. And I think people are having a state-of-the-art facility like that in Buffalo. I think people are going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating just to think about the different experiences. And people ask me on the tour, what we saw. I just think so many Bills fans that go to the current stadium are going to be blown away. They've seen this in other places that, the 360-degree walk around, see the game from the concourse. That's just – these are – 50 years worth of advancements going into a new stadium from the old one.
Yeah, and all the different entry points now, so hopefully it's a little bit easier, the access to the upper level, all those different touches that make you feel, hey, this is a Buffalo-specific facility. I think people are really going to enjoy that aspect of it. And again, I don't think when I left here, the conversation was about whether the Bills were going to be in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I think we're all pretty confident. Right? We've answered that question now. So not only are we going to be here, we're going to have the state of that facility that I don't think most people could have predicted would be there.
Filling that stadium, price points, PSLs, the process as it goes along, it's clearly a lengthy process. And I feel like Bills fans are finding that out as well, because maybe you are still waiting for your stadium experience tour to find out. How is that going? What's the state? Is a percentage of season ticket holders you guys have been through? Does everybody know their timeline at this point, or should they know?
I don't think everybody knows it yet, and I think it's hard. Right? It's easy for me to say be patient, but I had to come in from the outside looking in. I didn't really set this up, so I'm going to come in and evaluate how things are going. And now that I've dug in, I understand the process. You really, it's a little bit of a top-down strategy. There's some clubs that you need to look at first to see what the audience might be for those. I can tell you that all the club levels that we've gone on sale with have performed very well. The Founders Club, so ostensibly sold out. We've held back some seats for some need that we know we're going to have. The East Club, very, very close. And we just went on sale with the Field Club, which is that really unique experience right by the field where the players come out. Never been done before here. That's moving briskly too. So then we'll start moving to the bowl from there, and that's when people will start hearing from us. You know, after going through it, the one thing I do feel confident is there is going to be a price point for everybody that's been there. So everyone will get an opportunity to participate.
You know, going through something like this where you're trying to fill a stadium and also kind of reseat people, because I understand one of the reasons you have to do it this way is because the experiences are so different, the seats are so different, everywhere you can't just say, I'll take the seat in the current stadium and put it over here. There might, however, be a line to walk there, because, I don't know, are you hearing from any fans that are not feeling left out but frustrated or feeling that they want more information, and at the same time you're trying to make that experience personal to every single season ticket holder?
Yeah, and the building's got to be full, right? So there's a cadence that you need to go through to make sure you're in the best position to sell that building out, because that's going to create the environment in the experience that we want. So, yeah, we're sensitive to that. I'm making sure that we're having conversations every week, that we're getting to people, that we're communicating at a high level, and we're going to give them the opportunity to be part of this thing. I don't think there's a perfect answer. Anytime you open up a new stadium, these kind of dynamics exist. So how do you move through them as transparently as you can and put people in the best position to feel like they got the great opportunity to be part of this? We're trying to do that. I can't say it's perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but that's something we're focusing on.
It's a massive undertaking.
It's big, yeah. It's obviously we've got legends in there. It's too big for any one person. I went over there to talk to the Legends crew. I go over there every couple of weeks just to, you know, let them know what's going on from a team perspective, make sure we're aligned on everything. And people just kept coming out of offices. Yeah. This is a pretty big group we have over here, so I don't know that we would have had the bandwidth to do it that way. And so you need someone to help you with it, and we're just trying to make sure whatever they're doing is in lockstep with what we want for our fans.
That was one thing that jumped out when we took the stadium experience tour, was the peek behind the curtain and a door opened and there's hundreds of people that are just working. Oh, this is, you know, around the clock kind of operation, and it's the 3-year runway, and, you know, you're of course thinking about opening day.
Yeah. It's a massive project, and obviously the ticket aspect of just one piece of it. You talked about stadium development and everything else that's going on around there. And then what's the long-term vision for that campus? You know, I think ultimately we want that to be a destination, so we're still in the beginning phases of that as well.
What's the status of the giant buffalo? I got to ask that. People get mad at me if I don't ask.
Yeah, I don't have an update on the giant buffalo.
All right, fair.
But, you know, we know, again, that's the kind of thing you need to have some kind of character built into this, so it makes sense.
Is there a timeline you guys want all the ticket PSLs and, well, beyond that, I mean, just, you know, having everybody through before the stadium opens?
I think we're trying to give everybody a solid 18 months to make a decision on what they want to do. I feel like that's a reasonable time frame. It's hard when you're going through that much capacity and trying to roll it out to everybody, but I think it's important to give everybody a window. They're gonna get it.
And what about the current stadium? Because next year will be, you know, if everything stays on plan, like you said, that it'll be the final season at a stadium that's been this team's stadium for 50 years. Is there anything, you know, special planned or that might be in conversation about next season?
Yeah, I mean, nothing that I can disclose at the moment, but we have a whole group of people in the building right now focused on that aspect of it, because I agree 100%. A lot of great memories in that building. They need to be celebrated. You need to close it out the right way. You need to transition into the building the right way. So we are looking at that, and, you know, I was here for a number of those years and know all the great things that have happened here historically. So we want to make sure that we're not losing that in the process.
Pete Quilly, Chief Operating Officer of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres. Okay, on to other things fans want to know about. When we said we'd have you on, helmets. People want to talk about red helmets and uniform stuff. And it's also timely today because the Jaguars just announced a new helmet. They're going to go with a white helmet with their current logo. So uniform stuff. Yeah. I mean, where are the Buffalo Bills when it comes to deciding they want to dip into some more, I don't necessarily say exotic, but third jerseys, alternate jerseys, different throwbacks, different arrangements? How are things in that department?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, I can only say this for probably not much longer, but I haven't been here that long yet. That's definitely on the list, something that we're talking about. I'm a uniform guy, probably not unlike most of the fans. I've been through this process. I just finished up a 5-year uniform plan for the Giants that culminated this year with the 100th season. obviously, was in the NBA where, you know, uniforms are a big part of the strategy there. So those are things we're absolutely going to talk about. I don't have any great updates for you, but, you know, based on my background, I think it's easy for people to assume that we'll take a hard look at that. And one thing I do know, it's got to be a fan-centric approach. Like, if you're not authentic and it's not organic, it doesn't work. So how do you get feedback and kind of understand what fans are interested in? So anything that you do, it fits what they think is right for their team.
Having been in the NBA and the NFL worlds here, do you, just as an opinion, feel like the NBA is at the cutting edge here? Because the NBA is loose with this stuff. Mm-hmm. The NBA is way outside the box. We've seen baseball go there, too, with the City Connect jerseys. In the NFL, it seems like they're just starting to kind of, you know, loosen up a little bit in this department.
Yeah, I mean, I love the NBA approach. It just gave us, it was so much more fluid. You know, if you could dream it up, you probably could execute it. And it just gave us things every year that were interesting to our fans. I think, you know, you can go too far as well, where it just kind of burns out and then maybe nobody's even interested anymore. But, you know, we went through that transition from the Bobcats to the Hornets, and it was amazing bringing that brand back. But we had to evolve the brand, and then we started looking at how do we find other opportunities. A lot of those changes came through uniforms and different brands that we rolled out, and they were incredibly popular with the fans. So I like the way the NBA does it. You know, some of it's kind of the scale of the NFL is so massive, the partnerships are so big, the business is so big. You just have to be a little bit more thoughtful when you do it.
There's also fewer games, too, right? Like, you have 41 home games in the NBA. I don't know how many games you would have been using those uniforms for, but, you know, you could have seven different uniform combinations. You could see everything more than once.
Yeah, and I think what we try to do is package them up. You didn't want it to feel like, hey, this is a one-shot deal. Let's make sure if we're going to roll these out, we're going to use them for a certain number of games, that there's promotional and advertising strategies around it, and they're tied to some other fan-centric opportunities. And you're right, it's a little bit tougher in the NFL. You don't want to pull the uniform out, wear it once, and then just put it in the closet. So how do you accomplish that here, considering the number of games? So they're just different factors, completely different business, but it's definitely something that you should be looking at on a consistent basis as a team.
With regard to the Bills and uniform stuff, I don't remember the latest rules. Can you just add a helmet?
No.
That's not allowed?
No, you can't really just add anything. You know, there's protocols that are in place, and then there's a time frame, and there's a lot of oversight by the league when you do anything. So you got to start these processes a couple years out.
Yeah, one of the things in terms of oversight from the league that we learned, this kind of gets back to the stadium tour, is that when you design a stadium and you're going to build it, the league has to approve it for television.
Absolutely.
And something that I don't know how many fans know that, hey, we built this giant palace, and the league looks at it and says, like, the TV cameras aren't in good enough spots, change this, change that, make sure we get, because television, of course, is king for the league.
Yeah, and when the field and the way that the, you know, lower bowl is built, because if it doesn't show up the right way on television, it could be an issue. We went through those same things in other leagues. You got to TV test everything to make sure it works. But, yeah, that's part of it being a big business. You know, the television is critically important to our model, so it's got to be considered in every decision that you make.
On the Sabre side, roof is done?
Roof is basically done. A couple of minor pieces to put in place, but, yeah, basically done.
It's brighter.
Yeah, it's, well, you know.
I can see it.
Yeah. Is it just the roof? Like, it won't look any different from the inside of the
No,
roof,
it won't look okay. It won't different, no.
Okay.
No.
The scoreboard will, though.
Yeah.
Scoreboard will. It'll look different because it's twice the size of the old scoreboard to start with higher resolution. So when you walk in there, you'll notice a significant difference from the old scoreboard to the new scoreboard. That's exciting because, obviously, with hockey and the replays are important, and sometimes it's tough to pick up some of the things that are going on the ice. So I think it's even more important to have a great scoreboard and a great experience for the fans. I'm glad that that's in process and it's going to be ready. And everything on schedule should be up first week of September.
They ship that in a bunch of boxes and trucks, and the team puts it together. Is it
you're not far off.
Jigsaw puzzle?
You're not far off. You know, the old scoreboard's down, and there's a bunch of components on site that they bring in, and then they start that construction process. It is a piece by piece process.
Is the old scoreboard just get broken down piece by piece too?
Yeah, I can't tell you. I know exactly where the old scoreboard's going right now, but I don't think there's any further use plans for it.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, sell pieces of it, I guess.
Sell pieces of the scoreboard.
Like turf. You sell turf.
Yeah. Is there any, like, the arena comes up too. We get asked about that a lot. Future, I don't want to say to use the words renovations, but more work done at the arena in the future beyond the roof and the scoreboard. Is that in talks at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the exciting things about coming back. So to be able to participate across both teams, you know, in your home market. And I'm just as excited about the Sabres. I just think there's a ton of upside there. There's a lot of things we can do with the arena. Obviously, we think the team's kind of ascending, and bringing Lindy back is hopefully going to kind of unlock the potential. But the fan experience is something that we're looking at right now. So we're definitely going to take a hard look at the building. how is it set up? You know, what's the experience from you from the street to the seat? You already know the scoreboard's in place. What other aspects of that building can we look at to improve on it? I walked in there, and like, I love arenas. I spent 10 years in Charlotte, and it's, you know, we had 41 basketball games, and then we had a number of other events. Same thing here, right? We've got the Sabres, we've got the Bandits. There's a lot of events going on. There's a lot of reasons for people to come downtown. Ultimately, we want to get back to that building, be a catalyst, and bring people into the area and be, you know, the one thing that helps turn the economy in Buffalo around, because we think it can be the catalyst for that. But it starts with the building, creating a great experience, making sure when you come, whatever you come for, you're going to come back.
Yeah, your journey, I mean, we've talked about it with the Hornets and the Giants. You almost feel like the Giants and the Bills, so you've got the NFL experience already. Is it feel like, because it's 41 games, it's an arena experience, like, I know the product that you're actually there to watch is different, but how similar, I guess, is it? Like, when you're going about, you know, everything else?
It's very similar. You know, that's why, as we were going through the process and I was talking to Terry about the opportunity, I thought I could contribute across both franchises and help put a plan in place for both. And yet the models are the same in a lot of ways. I think the key is that building, great experience, and as active as humanly possible. So make sure it's a great experience for Sabres fans. That's the priority. But everything that goes into the building, how do you program it for 200 nights a year so there's reasons for people to come there and to come downtown and see how then that everything kind of builds from there. What's the economic development that potentially comes out of that? We did the exact same thing in Charlotte. They built this arena. It was kind of languishing for a while, but then, you know, teams started to come back. We started to program more. Next thing we know, the entire Uptown Charlotte area built out from the arena. So it's a similar mindset here.
Pete Quilley, Chief Operating Officer of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres. That's about it for me. I was going to ask you about the Guardian caps, which I've seen a few players wearing them out there, and there's a photo going around of the Chargers have the logo on it, because these caps can be worn in games this year, so... Right,
we may start wearing them around the office. It's we got a lot of stuff going on. People are running around. We're trying to get things done for two teams. So, you know, sometimes there's some contact.
Yeah, I might need some. I've got three young ones at home, so I'll take one of those. I need a helmet. I can throw stuff thrown at me all the time. Pete, thanks very much for the time, and best of luck this season.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Pete. We'll get a break in. Joe Brady just spoke with the media. We might play you some highlights of that when we get back. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That's one of the things that Coach Brady teaches and wants us to go out there and, one, execute, but it's not easy to score touchdowns in this league, as we all know. So when we get in there, let's celebrate. You know, it's a big moment that helps our team win football games, and we should be excited about those. And again, you practice every habit that you have, and having a habit of practicing going out there and celebrating and celebrating with your teammates, more importantly, not just someone going out there and doing his own thing. Like, everybody, get everybody involved, which is, you know, it helps the team camaraderie, gets linemen excited to go and spike the football. You know, everybody wants to get in the end zone.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen waiting for the players to come out. See some receivers out there on the field warming up. Yeah, so those Guardian helmets, Joe, we could see Guardian helmets in games this year. Players can wear them in games. And Albert Breer had a tweet. Let me see if I can find it. Of the Guardian cap with the Chargers logo. So it's just a bigger helmet with a logo.
So we're just going to start doing that with the actual helmet design more than just the logo?
I think so.
No one's going to do that, though, this year, right? Wear it in a game?
Why wouldn't? I mean, if you're an NFL player, why wouldn't you?
Why don't pitchers wear helmets on the mound?
I mean, they're wearing them in practice, the Guardian caps.
Yeah. But I don't know. Once you get into a game, style's not everything to these guys, but I think they care about it a little bit. And, you know, maybe it'll be the first one through the door. If someone puts their name on it and, like, all right, I'm going to do it, then other people will follow. But I don't know.
Like, here's Joe Alt with one on and the logo.
It looks like a helmet.
It's just a bigger helmet.
It's a really big helmet, though. Isn't it? Insanely huge?
It's a little bigger.
I guess that's right. All right, I'll be interested to see if players actually wear that. I still would want to bet against that they will.
Yeah.
They should. I mean, if it's going to make the game safer, then you should. I mean, would totally do that.
Get a call in. We're also going to bring in Joe Brady when we get that. He's speaking with the media right now when that wraps up. Might play some of that back and react in real time for you. Frank in Williamsville is up next. Hey, Frank.
Good morning. I have two things for you. First, my daughter, a Bills and Netflix fan in North Carolina, called me. Netflix Sports says the Bills receiving group is the best in the NFL. And second, a sad memory from the rock pile. Bills playing the Browns, ahead by about 4 points. Otto Graham sends a long touchdown pass to Dante Lavelli for the win.
All right. Thanks, Frank. I looked. I don't know where in Netflix someone's got on a site or on, maybe it was from the receiver documentary. I don't see anyone that's got the Bills as having the best receivers.
No.
I mean, Warren Sharp last week. See where his site ranked him?
23rd?
No, 23rd was Bill Barnwell at ESPN.
Okay. 23rd was Weapons.
That was Weapons.
Yeah.
I think this was just receivers. Yeah.
Warren Sharp had them
28th.
Okay.
Like, New England was below them, and, like, there weren't many teams. But 28th. 28th in the league. And to me, that is kind of a fair starting point. It doesn't have to end there.
Yeah.
Coleman is going to be a huge determining factor to where we think this receiving core is at the end of the season. And I do think Samuel, too. Like, I'm half kidding when I bet, you know, a couple bucks on him to lead the NFL in receiving yards. But, like, Keon Coleman is has been in the league for a good number of years. But go look at the list of quarterbacks he's played with. The guy who's thrown the most touchdown passes to him is Kyle Allen. Like, we don't know what Curtis Samuel looks like in an offense where, by the way, he's the one or the two option. I don't know. Maybe he won't be here either. That's possible. But the door is open for him to be a number one or a number two. In Carolina, they had given Robbie Anderson a massive contract, and they had DJ Moore. Then he gets to Washington. Terry McLaurin's on a massive contract. He's a first-round pick on Jahan Dotson. Like, he was in crowded receiver rooms.
Yep.
And here, there's an opportunity, and there's an elite quarterback that you tell me, is he better than Kyle Allen, Taylor Heineke, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Howell, these broken Cam Newton at the end? Because these are the quarterbacks Curtis Samuel has played with. So, yes, he's 27 years old and has been in the league for 7 years. I don't know how far I want to go with this, but I kind of feel like we don't know what the ceiling is for Curtis Samuel.
I'll agree with all that. When it comes to the conversation about receivers, I don't think there's any world you could claim the Bills have a top half of the league receiving core.
No, I don't think so.
Today.
Not today. No.
Could they have one? We just don't know it. Possible.
What's the highest you think
that you could reasonably rank them
by the end of the year?
Oh, that's a different question. Like,
they're not going to be top 10 by the end of the year, almost no matter what happens. In the real world. Keaton Coleman's not having an 1,800-yard rookie season, and then they're going to be the fifth best receiving core.
If you include Kincaid and Cook, who could both have good years, like whatever. The only thing I really always want to push back on is the idea that not having a great player is better. You're not gonna convince me of that. Every NFL team signs great players. The Vikings yesterday gave Christian Darrisaw $28 million. Will anybody make the case it'd be better to have more even-spaced tackles? Like, only receiver gets treated like this.
Right.
It's bad.
No, that's right.
It's bad to have
a great one. It's not that. Is it different, though, for receiver because what you're hearing more and more, and I'm not someone that's in this camp, but that, you know, Christian Darrisaw, okay, it's better to have an elite tackle than two good ones because I'm only putting one on the field, one left tackle. Whereas receiver,
I'm putting three or four on the field.
Base personnel now in the NFL is there are almost always three receivers on the field. So is it better to have three good ones than one amazing one and two guys?
Right, but that suggests you can't have one amazing one and two also good ones.
And that I think that is what gets confused.
Which is, of course, the case. If you can find passable ones, good to above average, easily in the draft, then keep the amazing one and let the good ones eat also.
You know who will be an interesting test of this? And, like, the Bills with Diggs is, you know, we've kind of gone round and round on this. Look at it from Houston's perspective. The attitude here is that, oh, Diggs gone, all that pressure to get him the football is alleviated. Is Houston going to feel pressure to get him the football? We'll see. Because right now, I think he's definitely second.
He's probably third.
And he could very well be third.
And that's fine.
So, does Houston feel pressure to get him the football? Like, okay, I had to, but they're not. What, they're just going to maybe be throwing the football to the good players, the guys that are open, which is usually how I think of receiver, is why did you throw the ball to Diggs 150 times over 4 years? Because he was open 150 times.
Josh Allen did it 150 times because he thought it was the best idea.
Right.
You throw it to – you earn your targets. You throw it to who you think is a good idea, and Shakir started to earn those. What, you know, you want to make it about momentum – Allen to Shakir got momentum because Allen started to trust Shakir. And you know what? I should throw to this guy. And the offense put Shakir in places to succeed. Yeah, the whole thing about receiver, there's a lot of different ways to attack it. I'm just, like I said, the only thing I'll push back at on is it's better to not have a good one. If you could have what Houston did right now is what I hope the Bills ultimately get to.
Yes.
Keon Coleman becomes as good as Nico Collins, and Curtis Samuel is as good as Tank Dell, and then they go out and they, next year, add a hired gun who's at the end of his career that they don't need to be great because I need to be as good as possible.
Davante Adams.
Sure. There's talk of Davante Adams going to the Jets.
Yeah, I know.
Which that probably won't happen, but
that's just because Aaron Rodgers likes the talk.
I'm just never going to – I shouldn't say never. I'll change my mind if, you know, given evidence to do so. But if I've got a world where Tua Tagovailoa leads the NFL in passing and everyone's like, well, it's just because his receivers are good, I'm endlessly going to say, what if I gave that caliber of talent to an actually good quarterback? Could he throw for 8,000 yards? I would be in the relentless pursuit of 8,000 yards passing, 17-0, completely unstoppable offense, and that is probably flawed in a million ways, I will admit. Anyway, we do have Joe Brady. We'll get a break in. We'll play a little of Joe Brady. The Bills offense coordinator spoke with the media. We'll play some. We'll say pause. We'll say stop. We'll see if we got any sort of takes on it, immediate takes. Players on their way out for practice here at St. John Fisher, day two. Jeremy and Joe with you live. You can give us a call or, you know, just keep hanging out.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right. I owe you the pick of the week from Riverfront Auto Sales. Pick of the week's 2016 Chevy Cruze Limited. Time for back to school. Amazing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
5-star safety rating. It's the perfect car for your grad. And with a low price of $10,495, you don't want to miss out. Check it out at riverfrontautosales.com. Call my friends Marty Sr., Marty Jr. at 886-1626. Maybe it is back to school. It's August. I mean, it's almost August.
The Bills are back to school.
Yep. And I have a text this morning from Kristen that says it feels like an elite morning. Just saying. I didn't say it. Don't yell at me. Don't you dare yell at me about that for saying
it wasn't an elite experience.
Elite. Okay, stat for you I have to follow up our last point. And, you know, we like talking about receivers is fun. I love talking about receivers. I love the show Receiver on Netflix.
I'm only one episode in.
It shows these guys, that, like, Davante Adams is a great example of this.
Yeah.
Davante Adams out there getting wide open, getting missed by his quarterback, and he's furious. And,
yep.
You know, football likes to treat that guy like a malcontent, but the reality is, like, he wants to be great. He is being great, and it's not working because someone else isn't good enough.
Right.
And in football, it's not okay to say that dude's not good enough.
Right.
Even though internally we know these teams definitely do that. Every one of these teams in the NFL likes to portray that everybody loves everybody and everything's great. So anyway, the stat for you. The Packers are getting a lot of love. Oh, the Packers model. Just have a bunch of guys.
Packers model. Yep.
Here are your wide receivers last year in receiving DVOA.
Okay.
Okay. How good were they in DVOA?
Okay.
What is DVOA?
It's Aaron Schatz's metric over at FTN. That
like
is
how valuable you are.
How valuable.
Number
yep.
one, Brandon Ayuk.
Love it.
Number two, Nico Collins.
Yep.
Number three, Dontavian Wicks.
That seems weird.
Seems like you might not have just a guy.
Yeah.
Seems like you have a good one there in Dontavian Wicks.
Right, no. You better not play him too much, though.
Number four, Tyreek Hill. Number five, Deebo Samuel. Number six, Jaylen Waddle.
These are all really good receivers.
Yes, they are. There's a couple guys in here. Noah Brown, Josh Reynolds, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jefferson, Tank Dell, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Wilson, T. Higgins, DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, A.J. Brown. So anyway.
Dontavian Wicks, though.
Dontavian Wicks, third.
Third.
Don't confuse.
And he is
Don't confuse. They just have a bunch of guys with, we don't know this guy as a household name yet. Give him one more year.
Right. Right, which is kind of like Nico Collins is just starting to get that respect.
He went from a guy to one of the 10 best receivers in football.
But while he was a guy, while he was treated like a guy, there were underlying numbers that said, hey, this dude is amazing.
That's what Diggs just, and that's what Diggs was.
Right.
Diggs was led the league in yards per target. Or
right.
Yards per route run.
Yeah.
And then he came to the Bills, and they're like, we should throw it to him a lot more. And he exploded. Like, yeah. All right. Anyway, Joe Brady spoke with the media. We're going to play a little bit of that for you and see if there's anything that, you know, jumps out we want to chat about. Here's Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady.
What are your takeaways from Keon, his first training camp practice? He got involved early and often, that great catch near the pylon. Just your overall impressions on a good first day.
Yeah, I think you can see the work that he put in, you know, the last month. It was important to him not just to get away and just enjoy a summer. You know, he took it upon himself to, hey, make sure he's still working on his craft. And, you know, had some opportunities yesterday and kind of made the most of them. And, you know, I think that kind of shows who he is. So it's just a matter of just the consistency, right? And, you know, you can have one day, but can you follow it up? And I think that's what you got to do to be a great receiver, great player. So excited to see him today.
Hey, Joe, tough slim for Dawson last year, injury-wise. Up
the
full strength, what kind of options does he give you?
I mean, he's huge for our offense. He does so much in from a leadership standpoint, just him being around, but just him in the pass game. He's such a unique skill set with what he can do as a receiver, and just seeing the growth that he's put with Coach Boris in the run game. You know, he's a complete tight end, so just having him, Dalton, Q, just the versatility that we have, It gives us a lot of options. So, you know, it hurt us not having him last year, so I'm excited to see him kind of moving around in full speed. He's a huge asset for us.
Hey, Joe, in terms of James Cook last year, heavy workload, more than he's ever had in, you know, going back probably to high school. Is that a concern at all moving forward? And he had, like, over 300 touches down in class.
No. I think, look, sometimes it's a benefit, especially in college when they don't have a crazy workload, because, you know, that's wear and tear on your body, whether you're carrying the ball in high school or college. Sometimes it's like, hey, they can be a workhorse back, whatever that might mean, but that's a lot of touches and hits that they put on them in college. I think, you know, we'll see how Jimbo goes. But, you know, when you look at Jimbo, I think I said it in spring, he looks different. He's stronger. He's more put together. You can tell he put in a lot of work. It's important to him, and so I'm excited to just can see him to continue to evolve and get better.
Joey, when you talked about this being Josh Allen's playbook, not my playbook, how over the years have you seen him take ownership of it, and especially this year with all the new people that have to be introduced to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the first training camp I was here, I was trying to figure it all out, you know, and sometimes I'm asking him just what he's thinking, and so you kind of you see how much he's matured in the offense in terms of the ownership of just teaching the guys exactly what he's seeing, and not just, hey, I know where that guy's going to be, I'm going to throw it to him, but like, hey, guys, this is what I'm thinking. Let's stop the tape. This is where my feet are. You got to be at this spot because of that. And just seeing that growth where I can kind of take a step back and allow him to communicate a lot more. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, and he kind of has to do that because we – you know, we had a lot of receivers in the past that have played in this offense and kind of already knew those things. And so it's been a lot of fun just seeing him just kind of take that and kind of roll with it and understand how important it is that we do have new guys and that it's important for them to understand what he's thinking, not just running a play. Because at the end of the day, they're the ones out there doing it. And so that's what I love about training camp. That's what I love about being here is he's with those guys at all times. And they're just they're attached to his hip, and it's fun to watch.
You took over.
In here, we'll save the rest of this. If you want to hear more, Joe Brady might run some of that on the Extra Point Show. Quick update: the ones, Mike Edwards, back with the ones at safety. So those that kind of read between the lines and thought Hamlin might have been getting the start with the ones as a bit of a nod to you had a nice camp.
Yeah,
Edwards was hurt. Mike Edwards is out there with the ones.
Okay. Brady there on James Cook. It's kind of amazing how little of a workload he has seen in his football life. If you look at college and pro, this will be mentioned when it comes down time to pay him. Not that I think I'm going to want to support that idea. What are we, 2 years away from that? And if they'd be able to pay James Cook after this year if they wanted. I don't think they'll do it, but he, in his Bills career so far, has touched the ball under 390 touches in his Bills career so far. And if you go back to college, he was under 300. So we're talking like 600 touches max for this guy between 4 years of college and now 2 years in the NFL. That's fewer touches than Derrick Henry had in college in 2 years. Like, James Cook has no workload or no miles on the odometer for a running back that has played 4 years in the SEC and then 2 years in the NFL. So, again, that's more of like a future kind of conversation about Cook when it comes time to pay him.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's two more years until he would become a free agent.
I will be ready to not pay him. Sorry.
I will agree. I would absolutely agree with that. He's going very high in fantasy.
I can't believe how much run Saquon Barkley is getting as a topic still. I can't believe it.
It's the topic from Hard Knocks,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Number
how about
one?
Another knock on Hard Knocks?
I mean,
there's another knock on Hard Knocks here.
What?
They aired his conversation. He did not know he was being recorded.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, and he, wait, sorry, I missed this then. He was on the phone?
He was on the phone with Joe Shane.
And he wasn't
there.
He did not
know he was being recorded.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Is Hard Knocks going to get in trouble for that now?
Who knows?
Are they going to be limiting that on top of already the stuff they limit?
I just...
I think we're getting too much Hard Knocks.
We're not just getting,
we have Hard Knocks in the offseason with the Giants. We're going to have Hard Knocks in training camp. They're doing Hard Knocks in season with four teams. AFC North. The whole AFC North are going to follow in season.
I just want to point something out. Do you remember 10 years ago, 5 years ago, when, I don't know if it was E.J. Hradek, it was somebody, NHL writer, that was embedded with the U.S. Olympic team process? And
I do not
there's some story, and embedded with the U.S. Olympic team, and it was revealed that the U.S. Olympic team had editorial control over what was reported and what was said. And that was a little bit of a controversy. Like, that's not a true embedding with a team if you're letting them choose what is said.
Right.
And that is literally every NFL production.
Yeah.
Every single thing the NFL is going to have editorial control over and say, you can put that in, you can't put that in.
Right.
And we treat it like it's real behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's not.
And I don't know how to not treat it all as performative. When I've got five executives in a room and they're having a conversation, are they just doing it for the show? Why don't you be the guy that says, you know, hey, who's going to trade for this guy?
Yeah.
I can't believe any of it because they all know they're on camera. They all have the ability to say, don't put that in. So I don't trust Hard Knocks.
I wonder if that changed recently. Because there were Hard Knocks years ago.
When guys were getting cut.
Guys were getting caught.
They thought it was too mean.
There was also the Browns one where Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson were sitting in a coach's room talking about how bad they thought Duke Johnson was.
Right.
But you don't see that anymore.
No, you don't.
So they put I mean, this is – but that's the trend, right? All this stuff was team propaganda, right?
Yes, yes.
It's
team and league propaganda to a point. And trust me, like, I like it and I'm addicted to it and I want more of it. But I always have to be – treating it as such, like,
which is
why not showing you the truth.
Yeah, but I'll say this, because editorial control, you know, some say in how things like that go or what gets shown, the fact that the Giants are kind of openly talking, not quite openly but kind of openly talking in this documentary about trading up for quarterbacks and I gotta find out about Daniel Jones, like, I don't know, it doesn't come off well for Daniel Jones.
Sure.
But it's not even that shocking a thing. Like, oh, the Giants don't like Daniel Jones that much. I mean, should that be that be controversial?
No,
it shouldn't be.
No. It's taboo, however you want to say it. Like, of course they're not sure about Daniel Jones. It should be okay to say it, but it's not okay to say it.
When's the last sports documentary you had that you felt like was 100% like, we got to see it all? You got to see something, you know, you got to see something that the team wouldn't want you to see. I don't know when the last time that's happened.
Well, I'll have to think about it. Anyway, all right, thanks for joining us from training camp. We're back tomorrow. Tomorrow we are loaded. Sal Capaccio will give us another recap. Sal Mariana, he'll join us as well, give his thoughts on camp. He's been out here covering things that he can see. And also Tyler Dunn, who will be here tomorrow. He's checking in on the receivers today.
Yep.
And Bills head coach Sean McDermott tomorrow. So, loaded show for you tomorrow as we wrap things up for the week. So, back here at Fisher tomorrow. Chat then.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.